Hello, welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Saylet.
And this is Kalina.
And welcome back to our whatever episode. And dude, podcasting's hard. It took us, what, 45 minutes to get this shit set up? Because we did just like, we have our planning done, we have our dinner and stuff, and then we get back to your room and then we have to like set up equipment and...
People are showering in the building, making noise, like, water's running through the wall.
It's just insane. I think it's like brain surgery trying to find our new book, or our next book, and it's like, dude.
We now have a list with like 20 on it and still can't find out what our next book is.
We're like, what are we going to do
now? Every episode, we're like, oh, shit.
What are we going to do now?
Shit. But there's got to be plans. Yeah.
I know.
No, podcasting's hard, guys.
It is. It's real hard.
Feel bad for us. Because we are voluntarily submitting ourselves to this process.
Right?
Forcing you to listen.
Woe is us.
Whoa.
So.
Yeah. Anything? No, I don't have anything fun to talk about.
I think we have a lot to say about this book.
I think we do, so we might want to jump into it.
Let's just do it. So we read The Last True Vampire by Kate Baxter, narrated by the voices in my head. God, it took me fucking forever to get through this book.
This one was an ebook. Yep, actual reading.
Actual reading.
Back to the way reading originally was before audio.
I feel bad when I have to, because I read it on my phone. And I'm trying to set that example for my kids not to be, like, glued to your devices all the time. So, you know, if I'm sitting there with an actual physical page book, then I think that it's okay. But then when I'm on my phone, I feel like... You know, I'm setting that example. And this day and age, it's just like what it is, but I still don't like it. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. Just because it is what it is doesn't mean it should be accepted. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Well, I understand that. I think that pointing out that it is a book, I think they're much more likely as they get older to read on devices.
True.
That's just going to become standard. I mean, eventually we're going to catch up technology-wise and textbooks aren't going to be fucking books anymore.
Right.
How much cheaper would your entire, like, textbook life have been if you just got to download them in PDF files as
right.
opposed to fucking buy $400 textbooks at college. Mm-hmm. But I think even school book, like for kids, if we wanted to put money into actual education in schools and not just, you know,
mm-hmm.
everything else we do,
mm-hmm.
They're more likely, I think, to start encountering books in a electronic format.
Yeah.
So... I understand that you don't want to be a family that the four of you all just sit there and stare at your phones or your tablets and not engage, but at least it's a book.
Right.
It's not just a video game or just a,
right.
you know, memes. You're not just scrolling through memes all day ignoring right. your children. You're reading.
I am. So. And I do tell them that I'm reading instead of, you know, like if they look over my shoulder and they think I'm playing a game or something.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they'll see words and then run away.
No, so. Like, this looks boring.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's fascinating, but it's not for you children.
Right.
This book is not for
definitely
children.
Definitely not for
don't,
you.
Do not.
Ooh,
do
especially
not,
this book.
No, don't let children read this book.
There we found our banter.
Yeah, there we go.
Always comes.
And I got to soapbox a little bit about education.
There you go.
Considering, like, all the teachers are walking out tomorrow.
Right. Well, today, so, too.
Well, yeah, today, tomorrow.
It started today, yeah.
Anyway, that's, you guys, well, this is months, months ago.
Be, yeah.
So.
Also, if you want to time travel, you should do podcasting. Anyway.
Yeah. It does feel like we're in a weird time.
It's weird.
So, The Last True Vampire is the story of Michael, also known as Mikhail. We're just going to call him Michael because, you know, the English Americanized version of his name is way easier to say repetitively than it is Mikhail. Like, the whole time in the book, because Claire calls him Mikhail the whole time, and I'm just like, this is hard to read. That requires accent in my head, and I don't want to read that. So anyway, Michael is the very last vampire of the world, the last of the ancient ones. So this is a world where there's kind of levels to vampirism, and initially they're created as dampheres. Dampheres?
I was saying dampers, but that's not how it was spelled. There's weird
words in
this book.
I think
book.
It's dampheer.
Okay.
So they're born either of a vampire-vampire coupling or a vampire-human coupling. And so they're born, they are immortal, but they can go out in the daytime, they can eat, they do need some blood, but like, you know, four times a year, not very often, but they're not as strong or as fast or as powerful. and then they can be turned by a vampire into a vampire. So these are the levels, but only by a vampire. Only a strong vampire can do that. Mm-hmm. And the turning involves losing your soul. So once you become a true vampire, you're stronger, you're more powerful, you lose your soul, and you also can't go out at daytime anymore. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you find a person who has your soul. And your soul comes back to you. And now you are whole again. Mm-hmm. And that's your mate.
Yes.
Your soul has gone off into the world and attached itself to another person. Being.
Yeah.
And then eventually you find your mate with your soul and you become whole again and you become tethered to them for eternity.
Yes.
Okay. We're going with that. So that's this world. Now, there's these slayers that are berserker warriors that are also immortal. Like, there's a lot of, we don't know. Anyway, they set out to kill all the vampires. They're being influenced or led or puppet mastered by the Sortiari. I don't like that word.
And there are lots of difficult words in this book. Ugh.
So they're these beings that we do not know about, not much about at least, but yeah. Somehow they're tied into like prophecy and fate, and they're trying to change the fate of the planet or follow certain prophecies that they like versus others that they don't like. Mm-hmm. So whatever reason, back 200 years ago, they decide that vampires have to be wiped out entirely. So they set these berserker warriors called slayers on the vampires. All of them except Michael gets killed. And Michael only survives by, like, fluke chance. They capture him, they torture him, and then they stake him. They just don't quite get his heart. And then they throw him in a hole.
An inch.
They throw him down, like, a well. And he, like, survives for, like, 100 years in a hole, eating rats and shit until he's strong enough to claw his way out. Yeah. So he's the last one, which means, but he's not strong, he's still soulless, and until he finds his mate, he can't turn another damn fear into a vampire. So he lives as the only one of his kind for 100 years, well, 200 years really, 100 years in a hole, and then 100 years not in a hole. and he's real sad and mopey about the whole thing, because he's the last of his kind, and he's real bummed out about it, and all the damn fears are kind of pissy, because they want to become vampires, or at least some of them do, and they can't, because he's not strong enough to turn them.
Because he's a wuss.
So they don't really get to fulfill their destiny, and they also, like, live off of him energy-wise in some weird way.
They share this
energy. And so when he drinks blood and becomes strong, they become strong.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do that very often, so they're sad. Everyone's sad? I don't know. So anyway, he meets Claire. Claire's a human, and she has a soul, apparently. And then the rest of the book is about true love and becoming... There being more vampires eventually, because he is restored to health and can now turn damn fears into vampires.
Yes! That was it.
That's it. I mean... That's really it. The difficult things are the things that are like, yeah, the rest of the book's just sex and love and shit.
Yes, good sex,
though. Oh, and violent fighting.
Ooh, there was lots of violent fighting happening in this book.
Blood all over the place. Yeah. Flaying and skinning and...
Lots of characters. I mean, she's building a world here.
This is a world. This is the first in a series. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the whole series is called, but like what the tag of the series is. But this is, it's the first of at least 4 or 5, I think, that I saw.
I saw like maybe 7.
Oh, maybe there's more now. I didn't look.
See, we don't know. We're just making stuff up now.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's got a lot of facets. We know there's other supernatural beings. We don't know exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. Or their rules are, you know, these berserkers are very poorly defined other than that they seem to be immortal and are very strong.
But we don't know, like, how.
No. They're not vampires.
No, they just all of a sudden have been trained in the art of killing.
And they have magic.
Yeah, they do. Maybe that's why.
They have magic because they use magic in their weapons that hurts the vampires mm-hmm. more. I don't know.
Yeah, this was definitely hard for me to follow. One, because I had to fucking sit down and read it myself. But two, it was a lot. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah. I definitely, this doesn't fall into the category of the ones we've hated in the past by any means.
Not at all.
But I struggled a bit with it. Yeah. I had a lot of issues with character motivations and choices because I don't think that they were consistent or made a lot of sense.
I was confused about the goals of a lot of them.
Yeah.
What they needed to
It seemed
do.
Simple. Like, it really seemed... On the face of it, like, Michael saw Claire, smelled Claire, and it was instantly his soul was returned to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a clear path. She, you know, is a loner, self-reliant. She had to grow up real young because her mom was an addict. And so she learned to depend only on herself. She learned that, you know, you can't live honestly if this is the world you're living in. Mm-hmm. You have to fight and scrap and steal and hustle to survive. So she's a survivor. So her interest is a little less. I mean, she obviously feels something as soon as she meets him, but she's fighting instinct.
Yeah. She's human, like, so she doesn't recognize
herself. Yeah. But she's obviously not 100% human. Like, well, we don't know.
We don't know who her dad is.
Because she has these, like, she can easily read lies, and she has all this intuition that, like, leads her in ways that I don't think your average human has. You know, Ronan, Michael's second in command, his, like, you know, friend who helps him,
watches the brains behind this operation. He's the only one that logically thinks throughout this whole book. He's the one who tells Michael what to do, what he shouldn't do, why he's doing things that he is or isn't doing. He's the only one that has any type of, like, significant role in this book. Michael is just completely, he has no...
Michael's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
He really is.
For sure.
It's real rough for periods of time there. Because you're just like, what are you doing this? And this is nonsense. Like, he's supposed to be, like, before the war and all the vampires died, he was supposed to be, like, one of the best warriors. Like, mm-hmm. he had this reputation as unkillable even at that time. And, like, he was a good fighter and he would, you know, lead the vampires against these slayers.
Yeah.
So he's, I guess, maybe 200 years rusty, but he definitely doesn't make good choices throughout this book. And so it's rough. And yeah, the characters, like, I think Kate just wrote some of them because she, like, wanted there to be that kind of character, but she doesn't give them a reason to be the way they are. So there's this one character, Siobhan. She is, like, the head of one of the coven. They call them coven, even though they're vampires. That's another thing, whatever.
They're dampires.
Dampiers. She's the leader of, like, the largest coven in town, and she hates vampires. She doesn't want to ever turn into a vampire. She doesn't want to be immortal. Okay, understand. Or, I mean, she is immortal. She doesn't want to be soulless.
Right.
Okay, I can understand that particular motivation. Knowing everything that we've been told, I don't know that I would. I mean, they can run around in the sun as dampiers. They, like, literally pass out at sunset or sunrise as vampires. Yeah. Like, that seems like a massive weakness. I know you get other strengths and other powers, but does that really weigh against losing your soul and losing, like, 12 hours a day?
Right.
Every day? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think I'd take that. You're still immortal.
And you're still gonna live forever, right?
So why not live immortal as you are? Instead of, like, now you have to, like, pass out every time the sun's up? That seems dumb. But anyway, that's fine. She doesn't want to be turned. Mm-hmm. Well, for most of her life, she couldn't have been turned anyway, because she's...
Right.
There wasn't a vampire to do that. Like, Michael wasn't strong enough. And now that he is... She's, like, real angry about everything, and she's, like, fighting with him.
Fuck out, yeah.
And, like, causing shit, and I just... But at no point did she explain any of it.
She doesn't explain the animosity that Siobhan has towards Michael.
At all. She just doesn't... Like, it seems like at some point they're trying to tell us that she doesn't want to bow down to a king, because she wants to be her own...
Right.
Like, she thinks she's a leader, a queen in her own right, and doesn't want to be subservient. Okay. No one's asking that.
Right. Even Michael doesn't ask for that.
He's like, just like, stop being a bitch. Yeah. We're trying to fight these slayers who want to kill all of us.
Yep.
You, me, all of us. Mm-hmm. And you keep causing shit for me. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it. So she has an unclear motivation for no reason. I think they just, like, it seems like Kate just wanted a really strong antagonistic woman in the book, maybe, like, female character. But I didn't understand her. I needed more explanation. I mean, maybe it'll come in the future.
I feel like it will, because as soon as she heard that Gregor came in, Gregor the Black came in, and he's the one that's hunting and captures Claire, and then she's just like, okay, Michael, I'll forget about you for a little bit and go fucking hunt this asshole down. So there's some history. Yeah,
there's some weird past history, but I still don't feel like that explains her crazy ass bitchy behavior.
She came in guns blazing
and she could have just like left town or whatever. Yeah. Like taken her coven and gone if she didn't want to deal with this.
There are other places in the world besides Los Angeles.
There's one fucking vampire in the world. Don't live in his city if you hate him that fucking much. Exactly. I'm sorry. None of this makes sense.
It's weird.
Anyway, so that was that. Gregor, like you said, he's like the head berserker slayer. And he obviously has some kind of weird history with vampires because it's not just good enough to kill them. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes a lot of real dumb choices, too, about, torturing people to death slowly instead of just killing them.
Right.
And he's the one who missed Michael's heart the first time.
Yes.
And then put him in a hole for 100 years. Just finish the guy. Like, all he had to do was leave him in the sun. He staked him, but he just missed his heart.
Right. Don't bury him in a well where there's, no sunlight.
Let the sun come out and burn his ass to death. Why are people bad at their jobs? You had one job. Stake all the vampires. You did it. You just didn't finish it. Follow through.
So
now 200 years later, he's even more pissy about the whole thing. Yeah, and it's like, this is on you, asshole.
And even the Sortiari is like, yeah, you should have just killed him. Like we said, you.
And then instead of doing it in this book, he ties him up and hangs him from the ceiling and flays Claire alive. And it's like, oh, just kill him already.
It was frustrating. It was so hard to follow some of these storylines. Well, not the storylines, but the characters. And just...
the actions. So Claire... okay, so she gets attacked. Mm-hmm. And that's how she kind of finds out about this world. Like, she meets Michael, but she doesn't know he's a vampire. She meets him in a club. They have, a real fun time against the wall.
Yeah, he's finger banging the shit out of her against the wall in a club.
Put a nice, nice rub down. Yeah. She... great. Loves it.
That was awesome. loved it.
Yeah, but then she still runs away. Yeah, it was fucking nice. But then she runs away from him because she, at the time, she stole his watch. She was hustling him. So she stole his, $35,000 watch or something stupid.
Which, by the way, why?
Fuck
why
that.
Fucking have a $35,000 fucking watch? More than my car.
Well, yeah. That's fuck a nice you. Car. Anyway. So she, ran away. She doesn't know he's a vampire. She meets him later when this weird priest guy attacks her. Turns out he's a slayer. He's one of the berserker slayers. And they save her. Ronan and Michael save her from him and kill him. And then they take her back to his giant mansion on the hill outside of L.A. Because he's a millionaire, of course. Because they always are.
I want to meet a fucking poor vampire.
Let's read a book where the protagonists are fucking poor and scrape for a living.
Yes.
She's a waitress at a diner. The women are always... not always, but a lot of the time the women have to work.
Journalists or waitress. Waitress.
That's the all only they ever two things are.
That we can do in this society. It's write or wait. Fuck.
But so he's super uber rich, and so they take her back to his house and kind of explain what's going on. Like, she finds out about vampires. He tells her that they're mates and that they're tethered with their souls, and she's like, "Yeah, this is some serious
bullshit craziness."
And then they get closer over the course of a couple of days. Well, first he makes some dumbass choices. He, puts her to sleep for 3 days using his vampire powers.
Continually. She wakes up and then he just says, sleep. And she'll fall fucking back asleep.
Yeah. That sucks. I didn't like him. Even his own friends and fans, his minions, all quit on him when he was doing this. They were like, that's bullshit, Michael. Yep. And they left. And they were like, when you figure out how to not be an asshole, we'll come back.
Yep.
And so I'm like, that's a pretty big flag if everyone in your life, even other humans, are saying you can't keep doing this to her. Don't keep putting her to sleep.
Right. Ronan, his right-hand man.
Yeah.
The one that is the logical one out of this whole fucking book, tells him, dude, you're doing this all wrong.
You're doing it wrong. This is not how you treat people.
No, I won't listen.
So that sucks. She wakes up starving and sore and
Yeah, she's fucking imagine had atrophy and
being asleep for 3 days.
How did you change the bed sheets at least? I mean, come on.
Come on. What are you how doing? Gross.
I know.
Fuck you. She's like, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry and this is awful. You're an asshole. So she forgives him somehow. I don't know. He makes chicken piccata, and that makes it all better.
Yeah, well, she apparently learned how to fight his superpower, or his power.
That's true.
Because he does say it again. He's like, Claire, yeah. Sleep. And she's like, no, fuck you! I don't know what any of this Mojo Jojo is, but you're not gonna fucking do that to me again. And she doesn't, which is awesome.
No, that's good, yeah. She learns how to defeat him real quickly, because he just is stunned. No one's ever bested him before. Yeah. He's like, what? So anyway, they wind up getting closer, and they finally consummate their relationship, and
have a
nice, good throwdown in the garden.
Fuck, yes, they do.
Fuck! That was good.
Yeah, that was, I
really need, so now what I need in my life is a fountain and a giant grassy lawn that, like, and no neighbors.
No neighbors!
Because that sounded beautiful.
Dude, that was
moonlight.
Awesome. I would have to say.
In the garden. As
frustrating as a lot of parts of this book was, that was probably one of the best love scenes I've
read. Jesus, yes.
it was awesome. We really wish we could tell you guys about it.
Just go read it.
It's fucking awesome.
You'll find it easily in the book. It's fine.
Yeah. Comes up.
It's real good.
I mean, we can tell you guys about it. Let's tell them about it.
That's true.
Okay. So, she runs off because she's like, fuck you, Michael. I hate everything about you. But she doesn't run far away.
She says, I give you 24 hours to tell me something real or the truth about you. Or like,
that's right.
He had told her
that's right.
about being a vampire and all that stuff, but he wasn't telling her, I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, she just was like, ah.
She was. She made that and exact noise.
She probably did. And then she ran away. And she ran and sat by a fountain.
Yeah. So he comes out and he talks to her. And then that's when he starts to tell her.
That's when he tells her the past. Like, not just that he was a vampire, but, like, how they all died. And how he's the only one left. And how he lost his partner at the time and their children and, like, everything. Like, that's a lot of lot. Like, there's something else about being a vampire. You have the collective memory of all vampires throughout history in your head.
That's insane.
Because it all stems from one original blood vampire. And so it's like blood memory. Mm-hmm. So he's, for 200 years, lived with his entire race's history in his head. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge that they're all gone and he's the only one left.
Yep.
So, of course, you're a little fucked up. Dude's got trauma.
Yeah, he does.
But he finally tells her about it. So in the scene.
Tells her about it, and then she, like, finally starts to let loose, and then things start happening with hands and mouths and fingers, and lots of biting. Every single sexual encounter they had with each other, there were fangs in flesh.
There's a lot of blood sucking, being vampires and all. You know what also happens is jeans get ripped.
A lot of jeans
Every pair ripped. Of her jeans get rended in twain.
Just like... shredded off of her. And bras. Michael, fuck. I know you're rich and all, but bras are fucking expensive.
Jeans are hard
to find.
And jeans are hard to rip.
Jeans were wet, by the way.
That's true.
In this scene. So, I mean, yeah. He's a vampire, so of course that's like...
I know he's a vampire, but it's him, like... But... I feel like that's actually harder than taking jeans off.
I would agree.
Ripping them is harder. Just take them off.
Just take them... I don't know. I kind of feel like ripping them would be easier. Because it's hard to take off wet jeans.
Well, wet ones. I think only one of her legs was wet. It's not like she fell in the whole fountain.
No, she didn't. But anyway, there was... This was pretty intense good fucking happening here. And this was their first true consummation. Because he did have her and give her an orgasm when they first met in the club. But he was like literally just... They were just making out and he was just finger banging her against the wall. But this time they were on his lawn and just stripped naked.
Sounded like such a nice lawn.
Just had a
I think because it's a rich person's lawn. Like, it's none of that scraggly ass grass that we have. It's pristine, trimmed, and like manicured, like a golf course.
Right.
Ooh.
Like a
golf course.
Light bulb. That's where I'm going to be sneaking into now is golf course. Right. Yeah, I mean, like, you haven't caught me dead trying to, like, do the dirty in my front yard. I get crab grass up my ass. Like, that's just not fun.
No, dandelions and shit. Right. No, this is, like, rich people lawn.
Yeah, so,
with
you know,
a fountain.
And it was beautiful.
It sounded delightful.
It did. And it was very well written. It was romantic and it was sexy.
Erotic.
It was
just goddamn erotic.
Really hot. So, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of... although I have to say, 8 hours of sex is way too much. They fucked much. For 8 hours.
No.
So she probably had about 1,200 orgasms.
At least, because they have them, like, every 2 minutes.
It was
in
just,
these,
like,
books.
You know, and he's always afraid of, like, draining her blood because he's just sucking
she
on her.
She is human.
Yeah.
And she should be dead.
She
should be dead.
Every time she was about to have an orgasm, she would tell him to bite her, or he would bite her, and so he would, but then he'd be, like, taking her blood. Like, for 8 hours, all my blood would be gone. Your blood would be
also,
gone.
Also, just sore. Sore.
I know.
Be like, no more fluids, like, dry, sore.
And the grass is nice, but I'm sure that got itchy real quick.
Yeah. 8 hours is too much. I'm calling it. But anyway, they only describe, like, 30 minutes of it, and that was delightful.
It was.
That's the part I like.
It was really good.
And then it's like 8 hours later, and you're like, oh, jeez.
There was a lot of time warping, no, or time thanks. Skipping, and time
it was
back.
Always almost sunup. Always. Like, we never got to actually experience a whole night or day with them. It was just a race against the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm about ready to fall and pass out. And I was just like, we just started having a conversation. Why didn't you have this conversation when you woke up instead of, like, 10 minutes before the sun? God damn it. Anyway. So here's where she makes some bad choices then. Okay, I get it. She leaves. Understandable. He basically, in that, like, sex...
Sexcapade,
thank you. Says that, yes, they are true mates, and they're mates for life, and now he's going to turn her into a vampire on Friday. And she's like,
what?
We have yet to discuss how this is really, like, something that we're going to just do, and it's the end of my life as a human, and then you just say you're going to do it, and I got to go, because peace out, bitch. And I get that. I would have left, too. I'd have been like, oh, no, we aren't having that discussion. Like, that's a discussion. That's not a you just telling me while I'm orgasming that you're going to turn me into a vampire in 2 days. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So she leaves, and I get that. And then she's like, I need to think. Because also, she's so self-reliant. She's been by herself her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
She has to get away from this situation in order to really explore what she feels about, like, what she thinks about it. Like, what does it really mean for her? What is she really feeling intuitively? I understand all that. So she runs away, but she runs right back to her exact old life.
Yep.
Meanwhile, she already knows that there's a group of shady characters out there trying to kill her.
Yep.
She's encountered one of them who she saw both at her place of work and on her way home.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably know where you live, and they for sure know where you work.
Right.
If you're such a streetwise, smart, self-reliant person, don't fucking go back to your old apartment and start working at your old job when a shadowy underworld immortal sect of warriors is trying to kill you. Whether you love a vampire or not, and you're trying to work that out, go stay in a hotel.
I'm telling you, people.
Go live in a sewer. I don't fucking care.
There was no...
Nonsense.
It was just, like, okay, can we say she's...
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. There's such a thing as pregnancy brain. I get that. I understand that.
She is 5 days pregnant.
I know, she's 5 days pregnant. I know it's not written into the book, but, you know, she does keep looking at the pregnancy stick. She goes, who the fuck knows that they're pregnant within 5 days of being pregnant? Well
it has full-blown morning sickness.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even that she knows.
Oh, that's right. Full-blown morning sickness.
Like, literally a week after.
Yeah. No, she doesn't think at all. And as streetwise as she's supposed to be, that was the dumbest thing she could have possibly done. Though I do think that the reason she did do that was because she did want Michael to find her. Even though she put up her block
again,
against his radar.
Again, this is
radar.
Mixed signals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting mixed signals from Claire. Yeah, she's blocking him. She's blocking their connection, mm-hmm. so he can't read her. But she's just going about her life. Oh, but she didn't tell him anything. Like, she mentioned she worked at a diner, but he didn't know where she worked or where she lived.
Right. But the people who were actually trying to kill
the
her
the fucking killers did.
The killers knew. And she knew.
And
they knew.
She didn't even take, like, his phone number.
No.
She didn't know how to find him. Because then when she decides, you know, I should find him. Because obviously shit started getting bad.
Right.
Because she almost got attacked again. Like, oh, they were staking her out because they knew Michael would eventually come find her.
Yeah.
And so when he went to find her, they attacked him in the street.
Yes.
Outside of her diner. And she witnessed a good chunk of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you definitely know that they know where you work.
Yeah.
And guess what she does after that? She goes home.
She goes to the apartment. the rundown apartment that she probably shuts her door with duct tape.
Like, it's, it did like, not sound like the door's no. even locked.
Like it barely shut.
She walked into her neighbor's house after midnight, like, to try and find Vanessa. Like the little all the time. They were neighbor. Walking in and out of their houses yeah. all the time.
That's where you're gonna go find sanctuary from, like, immortal, powerful beings. You don't think they're just gonna blow the fucking place down? Yeah, it was nonsensical.
And then, okay. So, he gets attacked outside, like, trying to get to Claire outside of her work. Gets away with the help of Siobhan. Great. She's being real cool here. And then she turns into a bitch again. I don't know. I gotta let her go, because this doesn't make sense. And then, he waits through the day, because he's not allowed out during the day. Sober stupid. And then, goes searching for her, finds her house, like, because now he can sense her again for some, I don't know. But anyway.
She dropped the wall. She dropped
the... That's true. She put down her wall. That's it. So he could sense her again. And so he found her in her house. He had just been attacked trying to find her at her place of work. Obviously, they've probably stuck it on a stakeout. They're going to get you again. What do you take the time to do? Have sex in the house instead. They, like, go through this whole giant sex scene in her apartment.
And I'm like... They're giant sex scenes.
These are huge.
These are great. Sex scene.
I'm like, whoa, what a good time for him to bust down the door and take both right. your asses.
But the timing is bad. It's bad timing.
Fuck you. I'm mad at it.
Oh my god.
Get angry about it.
The world stops for sex. That's what happens here.
So unrealistic. If I was in a fight for my life, I'd be like, put your pants back on. I got shit to do.
We gotta, you know, let's fuck later because...
We're about to be kidnapped. People are trying to kill us. This shit, we have got to keep our ears. Because then he gets distracted by other shit and she gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, he's answering the phone and worrying about the neighbors and their loud party and how he doesn't like that she lives in this poverty.
Right.
Oh, like, that's a big issue right now. You know what a big issue is? The fucking immortal beings trying to kill you.
Yes.
That's the big fucking issue.
Oh my god.
Anyway. We maybe talked a lot about that. Anyway, it all works out in the end, and almost all the bad guys get killed. Not all of them, because obviously we have to have other books.
Yeah, Gregor runs away after he almost kills Claire and the baby, and...
Claire gets turned into a vampire, although mm-hmm. she's kind of something new. They don't 100% know what she is, because no human would ever survive the transition before. Mm-hmm. But she not only survives it, but she's different. Like, their eyes glow silver, hers glow gold.
Yeah.
She can't drink damp fear blood, but she does really well on human blood. Yeah. Whereas they do better on damp fear blood and vampire blood than they do on human blood.
Mm-hmm. And she's super strong.
Well, she's like equal to them, but because she was coming from a lower level, she has no control over it. When she goes to get out of bed, she flies across the room and runs into the wall.
She does.
Because she's operating on human senses, and now all of a sudden, this movement of my muscle, which used to just do this, now does this.
Yes, that's true.
So it's real funny, because she basically destroys this bedroom.
Yeah.
Because every time she gets up, she just, like, flies across the room and into the shit.
So she has to get her bearings down and get used to
this. She has to go real slowly and, like, very methodically move her body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or she, like, jumps to the ceiling and she's like, ah.
And by this time, he'd already changed Ronan.
Yeah, he did that earlier because this was his promise to Ronan. As soon as he was strong enough, he would transform Ronan. So now Ronan's a vampire.
But he snuck attack Ronan.
Yeah, that snuck was really weird. I don't understand that. Like, either. He had agreed to do it, but then he like, out of the blue did it. Maybe he was afraid he was, because he hadn't had Claire around for, like, a week, so her blood was running out of him.
Oh, okay.
And he needed to do it while he was still strong from Claire's blood.
But he couldn't have said, hey, Ronan, this is why I need to talk to you. Yeah. Take 2 minutes to say, let's do this right now.
Yeah.
It's, my clock is ticking. We're buds. Let me bite you. Instead of... he literally sneak attacked him from behind.
I know.
Took him out.
They don't make sense.
No.
No, this shit makes sense.
And Ronan...
All he had to do was... Like, Ronan wanted it. Just give him a heads up. He's like, I'm kind of pissed at the way this happened.
Totally pissed. He's like, you're my... You and I are homies,
dude. Saved your ass when you were in a hole for 100 years.
I sacrificed something for you, which I haven't told you about, but I sacrificed something for you for Siobhan... And trying to figure out all of this shit between you and I and battling for you and fighting for you and figuring out that Claire is a vessel and all of that shit. And you snuck attacked me.
Yep.
It was bullshit. Michael's a dick.
Michael sucks.
But yeah, no, okay, and he was so primitive still. I understand he was alone for a very long time, but this book was consistently the female this and the male that. Oh, shit, I just couldn't handle it.
No.
Just, and even Claire was just like, don't call me female.
No, it's not okay. My name's Amy. Well, that's, yeah, she did tell him her name was Amy. But still, no, don't call me female.
Yeah.
Because it sounds, like, it's only used in degrading ways.
Sure.
Like, yeah. It's used as a command to a weaker sex.
To dominate.
To dominate. To be like, you're my female and I will do what I want and I tell you to go sit down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not... It's upsetting.
It is.
It comes across badly in the books. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah, I hate it.
I understand... Like, I think the reasoning authors use it is because they're... These are...
It's animalistic.
These are animalistic creatures. They're mm-hmm. not just human. They're closer to animal. They have, like, pack mentalities, and they are hunters, and their sex is tied in mm-hmm. with their, like, hunt and the kill and all of this, which comes from animals. But they're fucking, they're people. They yeah. live in a peopled world. They can learn better manners.
Yeah. They look like, and they look like humans, and they are living amongst humans, and you are growing as the centuries grow, so you have to adapt to what, you know, the times.
The 21st century, right. You don't call women
so
female
anymore. You
don't
anymore. Say that anymore. That it's,
you don't
it's always
say, call them, me. Yeah, as an ident, it's so.
Yeah, yeah, it's the worst identifier. Not and, the worst, but it's a bad
No,
identifier.
There's worse words. Yeah. But it's still, it's frustrating, and it's itchy to hear. It's,
it really
it's uncomfortable,
is.
And I don't yeah. like it.
Yeah.
And she didn't like it, and he still did it.
Yeah.
He also had a really, this is something that comes up in our books, this weird jealousy bit.
I can't
so,
stand the jealousy.
It started in our very first ones, like where Maddox wouldn't let Ashlyn near any of the other warriors. These are your fucking friends,
your buds,
right?
Man.
You know, Ronan is your best friend and, like, only friend, really.
Yeah.
And he's been with you for 100 years, and all he wants is for you to be strong and powerful so you can turn him into a vampire.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Yeah.
So you found your mate, and he's super fucking stoked about it, and he's just waiting for you to be strong enough to turn him, and you, like, growl at him every time he is, like, even near Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he doesn't want Claire.
Or just, like, addresses her. Just to talk to her.
They're just talking, and he's all, like, pacing the room and, like, growling and being a
like,
dick.
Come
and it's like,
on.
What the fuck, man?
It's
that just, would not...
It's
make
a
no
strange
sense.
Behavior, because, I mean, I understand and I agree. I think that why I think that that is how these authors are trying to portray these characters is with the, you know, the animal instincts and things like that. But you're also making them in human forms. You could put some humanity into them. That's why I was so in love with our last character, Charming.
Charming.
Because he did not seem like that guy. He
no.
was not that guy at all. They weren't in a sexual relationship, and he respected that she was in a different relationship and all that. But, you know, he treated her as a person and not just some female that he is, you know, trying to...
Yeah. I mean, he was attracted to her, and he came as a person and told her,
mm-hmm.
I'm attracted to you, and I would like to pursue this when it's appropriate.
Right.
I mean, oh my god, a conversation?
Yeah.
You're shitting me.
I know, it's insane. But I mean, like, I think that's the, like, I don't know if that's something that's endearing to other women when they read these books. Like, yeah, I want my man to be protective of me, completely protective of me, and not allow me to be around all of these other guys and stuff like that, and because I'm a trophy and blah, 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 blah. Well, no, that's not how that should be. If they're keeping you from having friends, one, that are male, and two, that are their friends that are male, I mean, that's not a healthy relationship. You should be friends with whoever you want without them having to be so jealous. Jealousy is not an endearing...
It's not endearing.
It's not endearing at all.
Like, I think there's something about, like, this is a fated love. That these two are chosen, like, their souls found each other on the other side and stayed together for all of time until it was time for her soul to be born into her body. And then they found each other in this life, and it is destiny, and they are bound to each other. There's, like, grand
yeah.
scale appeal.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't have to come with all this other baggage shit.
Right. It should
right?
just be
they
that.
Can just, like, we could have a book where that's, because I know that that's a lot of these, like, almost everything we rate, these are mates, these
yes.
are, like, for life,
yeah.
these are, you know, one
yes.
of a kind situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not trying to get anyone to stop writing these books.
Right, sure.
But certain facets of them can start to change. Like,
sure.
we can start moving in a new direction where
mm-hmm.
you know, just because he's a vampire doesn't mean he has to be a jealous asshole. Right. He can understand that his best friend is not trying to move in on Claire in right. any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And her just, like, being friendly is her just being friendly.
Right. Or she's just herself.
Just being Claire.
Like, she's just being Claire. I have a flirtatious personality, but I genuinely find myself, like, a happy person. I'm sort of an introvert, I'll admit, but...
You just named a lot of things.
I know, I'm also a contradiction to everything and not. See? That's how that works. But, you know, I mean, obviously you have different aspects and stuff like that, but when Dan and I are at a party, if we're at a party, most of the time, when we meet new people, they don't even know that we're a couple. They don't, because when I have my group of friends that I hang out with, he's got his group of friends, we'll circle back every once in a while to check on each other, or we don't. What the fuck ever, it doesn't matter. We're in the same place, we're in the same house, this is our group of friends, you know? I don't hang out with the guys. Most of them are guys anyway. And Dan doesn't come up to me and, like, blocks me from his friends. He says, you don't touch my woman. You know what I mean? Like, that's so stupid. Dan at one time did tell me, he goes, you know what? If these guys are hitting on you, Dan's watched somebody hit on me before. He's stood there and acknowledged it and then introduced himself as my husband later and didn't, like, try to, like, throw out her sword at him or anything like that. It was almost kind of like, that just tells me that I've got the hot one and these guys want what I've got. So mm-hmm. I feel better about myself.
Yeah. And there's, like, trust. He trusts you. He trusts his friend or mm-hmm. whoever you're hanging out with. Like,
yeah.
To just be jealous out of nowhere doesn't solve anything. It just hurts you. It, like, causes you anxiety and stress mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because you're not, like, trusting the person you're with. Right. To, like, you guys have been married for however many years.
Yep.
Why get all upset over stupid shit? Like, not yeah, even if another guy does hit on you, so what? You know?
You're like, I still got it, and you know what? I get to go home with you.
Yeah. It does no good to be jealous. Like,
not at
that
all.
That's just stress that you're bringing into your life, and negative, like, mm-hmm. emotions that you don't need to have. And I think it leads to bad relationships. Like, absolutely. It's unhealthy. Like, absolutely. If you can't trust me to be with you and to say no to other people, then why the fuck are we together?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
If you think I'm going to run off with the next thing that walks up and says nice things to me, then I don't even understand our relationship.
Why are we even trying to make something happy if you and I can't be at that point in our relationship?
If you cannot trust me to, like, take a compliment or even a little, like, flirtation and go, thanks, but I'm married right. or I'm not or I'm just not interested.
Exactly.
I'm with someone.
Or won't allow me to have male friends
yeah,
because
so
they're just male.
I'd like to see that change in books. Like,
yeah.
It just is unnecessary because it added, like, one, it didn't add anything to the book.
Right.
It was just all these weird growls and, like, he'd growl at people or, like, he'd think, oh, how good of her. Like, at the end, she purposefully took a wide berth of one of his friends, like, around the side of the room so she didn't walk too close to him because she instinctively knew it wouldn't do any good to walk close to this other male. And he was happy about it. And I was like, ugh. Like,
so proud of her, you know, her human or whatever instincts that she'd got now after she turned vampire.
She was meant to be a vampire.
Oh my god. Fuck off. I'll walk by whoever I fucking
please. Also, it's just fucking walking. I'm crossing a room to you, asshole.
What's gonna happen?
I'm on my way from this side of the room to that side of the room to meet you.
Oh my god.
So I walk past a guy.
Jesus.
So yeah, that's a bad part of this book.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Yeah.
Which sort of almost leads us a little bit into our fun fuck fact.
Our fun fucked fact, yes.
Sort of. So we'll
bring this in now. Yeah, we should talk about that.
So I found this on kinkly.com. And the fun fuck fact of the day is that 43% of women consider it cheating when their husbands fantasize about someone else. So the source is from Are You Normal About Sex, Love, and Relationships? I think that's a high number. 43%.
43% is really surprisingly high.
It's not worth it being jealous. If you put trust in your relationship, in your significant other, it's so not even worth it. It's not worth the pain and anxiety that goes on in your heart.
It just isn't. I completely agree. I feel like the root cause of this number has got to be insecure women.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I think society just doesn't create a lot of space for women to be secure.
Sure.
Like, we're told that we're not pretty enough mm-hmm. and that we should look like this. And this is the way we need to behave. And nothing we do is good enough. And we're sluts and we're prudes and we're this and we're that. Like, it's just too much. And yeah. it's a constant barrage on our psyche
yeah.
and on our esteem that a lot of women are insecure in themselves and their relationships. Mm-hmm. So obviously that is what this number is reflecting, which is sad. And I think that Absolutely. We can, let's work on being better. Let's yeah. work on acknowledging that. And yes, I can understand how maybe it's not something you want to hear, like that your husband is thinking about another person in a sexual fantasy way.
Sure.
Maybe don't sit down and describe it in detail to you. That might not be a great feeling, but that's not cheating.
No.
Cheating is cheating.
Cheating is cheating.
Going and sleeping with somebody else, making out with someone else, lying about it, that's all cheating. Thinking about a, you know, actress or...
Fantasizing.
Anything is...
The same exact thing we are doing at this very moment while we are talking about these books and reading these books.
Yeah.
We are stepping into the roles of these female characters so that we can fantasize about being with these immortal beings because yeah. they fuck like crazy.
Yeah. Like real good sex.
If so, then Dan, I'm sorry. I have cheated on you for the past 16 episodes because... All I've been doing is sleeping with Quinn and with Michael and Maddox and all those guys. Like, it's just...
They're real hot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know? And, sorry, not sorry.
And their sex scenes are described very nicely, very, and they make me very, very, nice. Very horny.
His cock jumped.
Oh, there's twitching. And I twitching. Got
squishy. It just happened.
So, yeah, this isn't cheating. And I don't need to replace them in my head with my current partner to make it not cheating. I can still just fantasies about, these aren't real people either. So that's true. Even like, it's an additional remove.
Right.
But it's still like, this is okay. Yeah. This is okay to have a fantasy sex life. Now, if it's all you fantasize about and you don't find your sure. partner sexy if anymore and you don't find you. Then maybe that's another thing you guys need to right. explore.
Then it starts to affect your relationship.
And I can right. see how that's Got a problem. That. But just having fantasies that it's just not cheating.
No.
So.
It's such a, we're human. It's such a natural thing for us. Yeah. I mean, if a cute girl walks down the street and Dan peeks a quick look at her ass, so what? I'm fucking doing it too. She's got a nice butt. Like. So what? Like, if he imagines fucking it later, who fucking cares? It's not actually happening. And you know what? I just might be getting laid a lot better because he's thinking about somebody else's ass. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand exactly. I agree with you that it's unfortunate that a lot of that is because of the insecurity in women. Because they, you know, they haven't built up that self-esteem or their partners aren't allowing it because they yeah, are.
True.
There are those people that are in those relationships where they're just broken down yeah. and they're not allowed to feel those ways or, you know, to bring themselves up and yeah. you know, they're scared to, they've been jaded by their past relationships. So it's unfortunate.
Absolutely.
You know, but we need to work hard at being better for each other.
And yes.
So that we can work on ourselves yes. and not be so insecure because sex is supposed to be fun.
It is. 43% of women think that fantasying is cheating and that's too much. That's too high a number. Let's get that down.
Let's get that down. Let's get that down, people. So, you want to talk about our kiss and tell?
I think it's time.
So.
It's time to discuss.
So in the book, the first sexual encounter between Michael and Claire was on his... front lawn.
Nice.
At nighttime, under the moon, next to the flowing water and the ripped jeans. It was insane and hot as hell. This is a good fuck scene, guys. So our kiss and tell for the episode is going to be the craziest or weirdest or most daring or unusual place that we have had sex ourselves. So, Kalina is on her second drink. I think this is good. I think I had to wait until you were like two drinks down.
Two drinks down. Talk about this. I don't have a super exciting one. I mean, mostly I have sex in houses. Various rooms of houses, but still inside houses, not outside in the world. I have had sex in a car. It's not super great.
But tell them where the car was parked. Oh, are you thinking about a different time?
Was it?
What are we talking about?
Oh, wait. We're going to have to pause. See? Okay. Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Why do I not remember any of that? I rewrite my own history in my head a lot, I think, guys.
That is a
Oh, shit.
Oh, this is awesome. She's bright red, people.
No, I'm not going to talk about that. It's
okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Shit. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, was it a parking lot outside of an ice cream store? It was in the evening, late night, not in the middle of the day or anything, when, you know, families go to ice cream stores.
With little kids.
With children. It's not that bad.
I think that's daring. That is definitely a daring place.
I was much, much younger, to the point where I've decided to not remember that fact about my life.
Oh my god,
this is why it's good that we do this podcast together, because I have apparently already told you all my stories, and then I have forgotten them, so that I can live my life without...
Like, I've told somebody, that's it, move past on. Past
story.
Oh my god.
I'm not encumbered by my history, because I don't know it. So it doesn't weigh me down.
Well, I'm glad we were at least comfortable that time in our relationship, because this was years ago.
That was a while ago.
A long time ago. I mean, we've never, like, in detail told anything, but...
No, I mean, well...
Who needs to know that? But...
That just gets weird.
It does.
But... Yes. That was my wild and crazy.
That's awesome. Okay, so, let me count the ways.
Yeah.
God, I've done it all over the place, too. Let's see. We've done it in cars. I've done it in the forest on a big boulder. I didn't do it completely fully at Red Rocks, but I was...
I almost did it at a concert one.
Yeah? We were hiking.
Oh.
We hiked up the hill in the middle of the broad daylight, and I...
There's a lot of people at Red Rocks during the day.
Yep.
That could really have...
We got walked in on, but it was... It was just a handout, but it wasn't, like, full-on sex or blowy or anything. Cars, for sure. Abandoned roads... In the middle of a field. Oh, when we got our first build in GVR, the house was completely finished and they were about to get it all closed up and stuff so that we can see it. And so they let us walk through it and everything. And it was just the family at the time. I don't know how this ever happened. But Dan and I went into our room. That was our bedroom. Went into the master closet and christened it. And then...
This was before you had moved in?
Before we moved in.
So it was like, was it even carpeted and painted?
Oh, yeah, no, the house was...
Done.
It was done.
Okay. I'm envisioning, raw fucking walls and stuff. I'm like, that just sounds splintery. I'm not sure I'm a fan.
Got a staple in my butt. No, it was ready. It was completely ready. And they did like a walkthrough. And yeah, my family was also walking around the house at the same time.
Ooh.
This is all Dan's idea.
Oh, yes. Let's blame Dan.
The Red Rocks thing wasn't with Dan.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Those are my... I've never, done a movie theater thing. I mean, drive-in? The drive-in, but you're in your own car.
Yeah, but there's families all around at the drive-in.
Not in my car. There's not. Now that I think
of it. No, movie theaters don't sound good at all to me.
No, they don't.
Because they're dirty.
They are. And Dan's always trying to get me to do stuff in the movie. I'm like, no. One, I don't even fucking like going to the movie theater because I don't want to be around people when I'm watching a movie I want to watch. That's why I love the drive-in. And two, yeah, you're right. It just sounds dirty. Nobody wants to do that.
The floor's covered in popcorn and soda.
Yeah. And there's people, literally sitting on the left and right side of you. Not happening.
Honestly, that's where you get arrested, I think.
You just might. You just might. So, yeah. Those are... There might be a few. As Dan is going to listen to this later and be like, remember this one? And be like, oh, no, I didn't remember that one.
See, that's okay. So we all forget things. Yes. It's okay.
I have been married for 15 years. We've had lots of sex in the time we've been married. So I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, though?
No. Sorry. Yes. Of course.
That I had...
Well, you're also telling them.
Just keep that in mind. That's true. Well, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I had probably the best orgasm in top three in my life a couple of days ago. Just
Ooh.
At home.
That's nice.
Played with the new Anal Tale.
Really?
And yes, I recommend it. It was fun. It was just a small one that's mm-hmm. just, you know, mm-hmm. it's rainbow. It's cute. It looks funny. But anyway, that's it. Yeah.
Well, good.
So anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
That's that.
That is that.
Although I think I do want to experience the front yard thing when I get a place with 12 trees and not crabgrass.
Yeah. Just really nicely well manicured grass. Mm-hmm. Or like a golf course.
Yes.
Really, that's good. That scene was real nice.
That was a nice scene.
It was really good.
If you guys want to read good sex, just read this book. If you don't really care about the storyline or anything, then don't
get attached to it. And their fight scenes, I skimmed through so fast because they're so, like, she wrote them really well, too detailed for fight scenes. And, like, I'm sure some people will really enjoy that.
I didn't.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fighting, blah, 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 blah. And wait until they were, like, not fighting anymore. Because it was so many pages of fighting. And I was like, I just want to know what the resolution of this book is. So there's a lot you can skim in this book.
I enjoyed the fighting, but I like the action part of it.
I like some action. They went on too long. Yeah. And it was, again, most of it resulted from real poor choices. So I didn't.
That's
I was
true.
Just like, well, this is your, you brought this on yourself.
That is very true.
And so I wasn't interested. I think if everyone made better choices, I would have appreciated it. I'm not saying you can always avoid fighting, because you can't, especially not in these books, but they, like, deliberately chose to be endangered all the time.
Yes, they did.
Through
they
dumb choices. So
very, very poor choices. So yeah. Don't make poor choices when you've got enemies.
No, don't do it. All right. So, dirty pleasure rating on this book. What do you think? We've been pretty hard on it.
We have been. You know, we've really got to make that list.
Yep. And so we actually know what we voted on others.
Yeah. You know what we gotta do? It's just fucking write it down. We've got our notes in front of us.
I wrote it down like 3 times.
Oh, see? That's 3 more times than me.
And then I didn't write it down most of the time. See, I wrote it down here.
I liked this book. Wasn't in love with the storyline. There were definitely some errors, I guess, written into the book. Like,
there were editing errors.
There were editing errors. Those
stick out like a sore thumb and were hard to read around.
Totally. Totally. So that was a little, and it wasn't very much, but it was,
just a couple.
Normally you don't see them at all.
Well, yeah, because normally they're being read to us.
Even like reading like other books, I mean, like,
yeah.
But,
but yes, also true.
I think I'm going to have to go with a 6, and only because it was sexy. So it was a sexy 6. The sex was incredible in this book. It was written so good, and it was so squishy.
It was squishy.
It was totally squishy, and it was good squishy. Probably one of the reasons why I had a good orgasm.
Yeah. But, if you were in the middle of reading this book.
Yeah. So it could have been
subliminal. I had some good ones myself, but.
There was a toy involved.
Well, yeah.
Two toys. There were 2 toys involved.
So I think that this is like a quickie 5. You know, it was satisfying, but it wasn't like...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I may or may not choose to read more of this series. Right. Like, if we run out of shit to do, then maybe.
If we read every other romantic book in the world.
All the other books. You
know. Yes.
And we're like, fine, I guess we'll go back to this book.
Yeah.
Definitely before we go back to any of those goddamn Feral Sins books.
Oh, that ain't happening. I will stop this podcast before that continues.
I feel like this is the end.
This is our last episode ever. Because
we are not reading those books again. Any by that person.
So our next book is going to be another audiobook, which is called Unholy Ghosts by Stacia Kane, narrated by Bonnie Turpin. It's the first of the Downside Ghost series, so we'll be getting into that again.
Yep.
Not again. We'll be getting into that.
Next time.
Audiobooks again, so.
Yeah, well, join us for that. Thanks for listening tonight, or day, or whenever you're listening.
Whatever.
Make sure that if you are interested in reaching out, come join us on Facebook. We're Dirty Books at Facebook and Twitter. We're also, you can email us on Gmail at dirtybooks@gmail.com. And on all those platforms, the sh has 3 H's.
Yep, and we are also on SoundCloud, iTunes, other Google places. Google Play, I can't think. Our website on WordPress, or our just our regular website, sturdybooks.com. And we'd also like to give a thanks to Jim Townsend for our music. Yes. In the beginning and the end. Very lovely, very nice. And we shall see you guys again.
Yes. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylette. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.